I've read a lot of your works, David. Your work is profound, much of it believable at face value. Some of it one has to think, and some of it one has to sit back and go, I wonder.
Well, that's good. That's good. The reason I do it like that, George, because, it's like I said earlier, this is about taking control back of our own reality and not having an external one planted within us. And therefore, it's about... what do we, as quote individuals, not that there is such a thing when you get to the bigger level of reality, but let's call it individuals, what we feel is our truth. So I've said to people, if people read my books and say, I believe every word of that, I accept every word of it, I'm the most disappointed man in the place.
Understand.
Because that's not what it's about.
But does David Icke, does he believe that there is this reptilian civilization on this planet, or do you believe in some of the reports that people have given you?
It's cumulative, George. This whole thing of reptilian entities started coming into my life in the mid to late 90s. And it started as a trickle and then became a flood. And you talked earlier about synchronicity with the Jessica Lynch story.
Yes.
Well, that is what has happened to me. We talked about it last time. I had a profound experience in Peru in 1991. And from that moment on, the synchronicity of my life has been unbelievable. Doors opening and closing. And when I go through a door, there is information that I need to understand the situation greater. There's some force involved in this. That is opening and closing those doors. And the synchronicity started with the reptilian thing, like I said, in the mid-late 90s. And I just kept bumping into people, because I travel a lot, all over the world, all over America, different walks of life,
mm-hmm.
who were telling me this same story. I then go to South Africa, and I meet a Zulu shaman, Credo Mutwa, in his 80s now, the official historian of the Zulu nation. And he talks to me about the same stuff. They call these reptilian entities in their culture, the Chitahuri, which translates, he says, as children of the serpent or children of the python. And then when you look at the ancient accounts, again, the reptilian thing is there all the time. They had the Nagas gods people in Asia, who they said could take either human or reptilian form. And then I've talked to people who've been involved in government mind control projects and who have taken part in satanic rituals with some famous people. And they talk again about seeing this shape-shifting between human and reptilian form. I got a call from a lady who was the head of, I think it's called Parents Against Ritual Abuse, and I talked to her, not about reptilians, but about the ritual abuse of children and these satanically ritually abused kids,
yes.
of which there are enormous numbers. And in the middle of this conversation, out of the blue, she said to me, can you explain something to me? Why is it, do you think, that many of my clients say that during the rituals they see people change from human to reptilian? Do you think these people are dressing up to confuse them, she said. And so when you have this, over many years, cumulative a gathering of information from so many different sources, it's basically saying the same thing. I mean, indeed, in the last couple of weeks, I've had a filmmaker contact me who was making a film in Vancouver, Canada, and he said, I just saw these people turning into reptiles in front of my eyes. I saw their eyes change into reptilian eyes and stuff like that. So when you get this wealth of information from so many different sources and so many different people and walks of life, then there is something to look at here. And I have heard enough and seen enough to be very, very clear that this reptilian aspect, not necessarily the whole story is much bigger than that, but is certainly fundamentally involved in this. And I would say when you look at the ancient and modern information, it's very clear that this is a big part of the story. And also, you know, what is bizarre and what is fantastic to people is only based on the point from which they're observing reality.
That's true.
And so one of the things I've pointed out over the years is that the reality that we're implanted with through our lives, what is real, what is possible, what is impossible, is so fundamentally limited and so different to what is actually going on, that chasm between what we believe is possible and what we believe is real And what is actually going on is so big that it takes many people a long time, indeed many people don't even make it, to bridge that chasm between what they've been indoctrinated to believe is reality and what's actually going on. And as a result of that, it's the fantastic nature of what is happening against the very limited version of possibility that we're given through education and the media and stuff that is the greatest defense that this manipulation has. Because even when the truth comes out, people go, oh, come on, mate, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into, and I'm sure we will as we go along tonight, when we get into the nature of reality and how we create it, the fact that there is no reality in the three-dimensional world outside of ourselves, it's actually all going on inside our heads. When you get to that level of understanding what reality is and how we create it, shape-shifting reptilians is extremely small deal indeed. I have, however, been surprised, because when I came out with this stuff, I knew what was going to happen. Oh, that bloody Ike's mad. Look at him talk about reptiles. I've been very surprised at the number of people who've read the books and have actually said to me, well, it is fantastic, mate, but you know something? I reckon there's something in it. It just feels right to me. So, you know, if people feel information rather than think it from the conditioned point of view, they can get very different perspectives upon it.
Do you believe that they may be extraterrestrial or genetically altered human beings from thousands and thousands of years ago, and they are just the offspring of, you know, the offspring of the offspring?
I tell you, I can only give you the conclusions I've come to from all this research, traveling, information, meeting people, and what have you. There seems to be little doubt that there are non-human entities within the Earth that do operate on this planet in what you might call five-sense reality. But the real core and center of this manipulation of this five-sense world, which is just a very narrow frequency range that our five senses can access, beyond that is infinity. And that's where, of course, infinite possibility exists. And it seems to me that the focus of the manipulation is not so much extraterrestrial in the terms of physical five-sense bodies.
Mm-hmm.
It's more interdimensional. And that when people talk about spirits and demonic entities and exorcising people who have been possessed. Of course, if you look at a person who's been possessed by some spirit, you can't actually see what's possessing them. You just see their five-sense body. What is possessing them is operating outside the frequency range of the five senses. So you don't see it, you just see the five-sense level. And it's just outside the frequency range of the five senses that these realms exist where these deeply, deeply disturbed and imbalanced entities manipulate this five-sense world by possessing, taking over the mental and emotional processes of people in human bodies, manipulate this world. And the more that I've researched this, and indeed talked to insiders who've confirmed it, in fact, at the moment, I'm in correspondence with someone from a very world-famous family who is confirming to me all that I've been saying about the importance of bloodline to this Illuminati, this manipulating network,
mm-hmm.
and the reptilian aspect to these bloodlines. And when you follow these people in power and royal power and political power and banking power today, when you follow their genealogy back, it goes invariably to the aristocratic and royal families of Europe, and then down into places like the ancient Near and Middle East, to Sumer, to Babylon. And when you get back into those ancient times, again, all over the world, not just in Sumer, Babylon, and that area, but other areas, including South Africa and places like that, as I mentioned with Credo Mutwa, the same continuous story keeps reoccurring.
Yes.
And that is of a interbreeding between a non-human race and humans to create a hybrid bloodline.